Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 read, "The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Hello, and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today, we are continuing our quarterly focus on God, also known as theology proper. It is theology, the study of God itself, considering who God is and his attributes. Today's episode is titled "He Who Is." We are using Exodus 34, 6 through 7 as a springboard of sorts. We're going to be walking through it this whole quarter, considering different attributes, true things about God. And already we have been thinking about the context of what's happening in Exodus 34, where Moses has cried, just as we cry to God, "Show me your glory." He said that on Sinai, and God responded that Moses cannot see his glory, not fully, not entirely, or he would die, but he did allow Moses to hear his glory, hence the beatific sound that we've talked about before. And now we are getting into that beatific sound. We are preparing ourselves to hear the glory of God, or to see his glory through hearing with faith. And we are beginning at the very beginning, because the first thing the Lord says when he passes by Moses is he says, "The Lord." I want to begin by considering what is meant by the Lord. That is often the way that all of us refer to God and refer to Jesus as Lord. If you are reading in most English translations, if you look at Exodus 34:6, Lord is all capital letters, L-O-R-D in all capital letters. That is translating from a Hebrew word that is probably, yeah, I think we can say safely, the most important single Hebrew word in the Old Testament. That is the word we are talking about today, the Lord, and it is a name for God. It is his most personal, special name given to God's people to use in reference to him. In Hebrew, we use the word Yahweh. That is how we refer to the Hebrew word that stands behind the English translation Lord with all capital letters. We are talking about a name in Hebrew, Yahweh. The fact is that we actually don't know how to really pronounce that word. We say Yahweh, the reason being the Jewish people so reverence this, the most holy name of their God and the most personal covenantal name, that at some point in their history, they refused to write down its proper pronunciation. They also had refused to say it out loud, and that in part was a way to build a fence around the command against using God's name in vain. So since this is God's very special personal covenantal name, they reverenced it so much that it became Jewish practice at some point that they would not actually pronounce it. Even when they saw it written down in the text, if they were reading it, they would say something else. Sometimes they might say Hashem, the name in Hebrew. But most commonly what they would say is Adonai. Adonai is a Hebrew word that means my Lord, Adonai. And it's used throughout the scriptures, Adonai. And so when you see Lord in the Old Testament, and it is not all capital letters, it is capital L and then lowercase O-R-D, or if it's referring to someone other than God, it's all lowercase, Lord, or Master. That is the Hebrew word Adonai. And what ended up happening at some point in Jewish history is that those who were reading Yahweh decided that was too holy of a name for them to pronounce, and they risked blaspheming or misusing that name, rather. And therefore, when they saw Yahweh written, they would say Adonai. They would read that as Adonai just to be very safe. So that is why in our English translations, we have the word Lord. In fact, what ended up happening is before the time of Jesus, there was a very popular Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament that was used by Greek-speaking Jews. That translation was called the Septuagint. It is the translation that was likely read and used by many New Testament authors. And that translation, when it came to Yahweh in the Hebrew, because that was read as Lord, Adonai, it actually translated those instances into the Greek word kurios, which just means Lord. So there you have the verbal practice of the Jewish people. Even when the text said Yahweh, their verbal practice was to say Adonai in order not to misuse the name Yahweh. And that carried over into the Greek translation, and they just translated it. Yahweh, the word, was really lost in translation, and they would simply translate it kurios. And so moving into the New Testament, anytime the New Testament references an Old Testament passage with this word, Yahweh, always the Greek word used is simply kurios, meaning Lord. You can understand then, hopefully, if you're following some of that, why in our English translations, most of the major English translations have chosen to translate, even in the Old Testament, when Yahweh appears, to translate it as Lord, but to distinguish it from Adonai, because it's not really Adonai, it really is Yahweh, so they distinguish it by putting all capital letters. That way, in the New Testament, when kurios is used, quoting the Old Testament Yahweh, they will match up in your English. That is why we call, that's why when we read Exodus 34:6, he's saying the Lord. But I want you to know the Hebrew word that God was declaring there is Yahweh. Just another comment when it comes to the word Yahweh. What we have actually in the Hebrew text are four Hebrew consonants. Yod, He, Vav, He. So when you're reading the actual Hebrew of the Old Testament, you will come across those four consonants in a line. And the way the Hebrew works is that the vowels were later on added in, the way they would be pronounced was added in a long time afterward by some Jewish interpreters and translators known as the Masoretes. They would add in the vowel sounds that were supposed to be made on top of and below the consonants that were already there. So you don't have to know anything about that other than the fact that the consonants were the written things, yod, he, vav, he. And then what happened is people just knew how to say the vowels, but to help those who didn't, vowel pointings were put in. Here's where things get very interesting, is since the written yod, he, vav, he was not pronounced by the Jewish people, the Masoretes did not write down the actual vowel pointings of the original pronunciation of God's most special name. Instead, what they did is they took the vowel pointings from the word Adonai, which is what the Jews would say when they came to Yahweh. They took those vowels and put them on the consonants, put them on the consonants for Yahweh, yod, he, vav, he. So they blended them together. And by seeing the vowel pointings, one would be reminded to pronounce the word like Adonai, because that's not the vowel pointings for Yahweh, that's the vowel pointings for Adonai. It was a reminder. But then you end up, every time you come to God's holy name in the Hebrew text, having the consonants, the what's sometimes called the tetragrammaton, the four letters, yod, he, vav, he. But then we have the vowel pointings for an entirely different word, Adonai, to remind us to say that instead. The whole point of this is that we don't know how to say God's most holy, special covenantal name. We don't know how to say it. Thankfully, that's okay. God did give it to his people to say. It's been lost in history. That's okay. We do have it still written. We still know when we encounter it in the text, and that is the important thing. And that's why we're talking about it, because when God wanted to declare his glory before Moses, that's where he started. In fact, he said it twice. The Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. The Jewish people would say Adonai, Adonai. We say the Lord as a translation of that, but it's really Yahweh, Yahweh, or however that was pronounced. It's Yod, He, Vav, Hey. Now, where does this most special name of the Lord come from? It's Exodus chapter 3. This was when Moses was speaking to the Lord at the burning bush, and God spoke to him from the burning bush and was telling Moses to go down to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And in Exodus chapter 3, this is what we read. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." In Hebrew, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I am who I am. And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord.'" And now at that point, Lord, that is a form of Ehyeh, that is a form of I am. It's a little bit different. It might be saying he is, but it's clearly coming from that I am, Ehyeh, I am. And then he says, "The Lord, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." So what's important to know about this name, the first thing God says there on the mountain, is it is Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton. We say Yahweh. It is only an approximate pronunciation because the original has been lost, but that is the name. It comes from a verb in Hebrew, Hayah, Hey, Yod Hey, that has been changed in some way, and therefore it is now Yod Hey Vav Hey, the Lord. But it is coming from the verb to be. You see that when he says, "I am who I am," Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. So whatever the Lord, however it was pronounced, the meaning of the Lord comes directly from the Hebrew word for to be. That leads us now to consider the meaning. Obviously, this is an incredibly important name of God. God has many names by which he's revealed himself to us. You can go throughout the scriptures and see them. Many of the names in scripture are actually this word, Yahweh, and then something attached to it. So sometimes we'll say things like God has revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. The word Jehovah actually comes directly from Yahweh. It is a transliteration into English. It's much more prominent in older usages, but it's just the name Yahweh. And all that happened there with Jehovah is we took the consonants Yod Heh Vav Heh, and we took those vowel pointings for Adonai, and we tried to put them together and transliterate them, and we came out with Jehovah. So again, Jehovah is not how anything really was pronounced, but it is just another way of referring to Yahweh, since we don't know fully how to pronounce it. So when you say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider, you are referring to Yahweh Jireh, the Lord, my provider. Many of the names are that way, but there are a number of other names of God in Scripture, and yet this is the one by which God most wanted to be remembered by his people. We could say this is the most special of God's revealed names. That leads us then finally to go, okay, then what's it mean? What does the name Yahweh mean? When God passes by in front of Moses and then declares his glory and starts by saying, Yahweh, what does that name mean? The fact is, we don't 100% know. But I would say there are two guesses about its meaning that are the most likely, and perhaps even both are intended by God when we use his name, Yahweh. The first one is covenantal, and it takes, again, that word Hayah, that word to be, and it makes it, in a sense, future, and the name then would be saying, God saying to you, I will be with you, or specifically, God saying to his people, I will be with you. That's why I am who I am. Who is God? He's the one who's with us. Certainly in the context of the Exodus, That is the way God wanted his people to think of him. They felt like God was absent. They were crying out to him. They had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Where is God? And God sends Moses to the people. And if the people ask, well, who is this God? Then the response can be, he is the God who is with you. He is a personal God who hears your cries. He is with you. He will be with you and will lead you out of the land to a land of promise. So first, the name Yahweh seems to mean something very covenantal. It focuses in on the relationship between God and his people. There is the word God, which we have translated throughout the Old Testament. That is just the word Elohim. That is the usual name for a deity. It's used both of the true God, Yahweh. It's used of false gods as well. That is a more general reference to the divine being. So that is God's name, God, but it's more general. Yahweh is different. Yahweh is not a name that would have been used by the pagan nations surrounding Israel. Egypt would not use a word like that, or those even who used languages more similar to the language of the Hebrew people. They would not be using the word Yahweh to refer to their gods, but they would be using the word God. Yahweh was special. Yahweh pointed to the covenantal, close, personal connection between the one true God and his people Israel. So that seems to be the first possible and likely meaning of Yahweh. It points to that covenantal relationship between God and his people, him saying, I will be with you. I am your God and I will be with you. There is another possible meaning, and this one, I lean toward this. I'm a bit more maybe philosophically minded, and those who are inclined that way do like this potential meaning. Now, was this God's intention in revealing himself as I am who I am? I'm not totally sure, but it's very, very possible. So if that first meaning we would call a covenantal meaning, the second one we can use the word ontological. That is, when God says, I am who I am, he is communicating something about his own being. That, after all, is the meaning of the word Hayah, to be. He's referring to his own being. For example, God could, by the word Yahweh, be referring to the fact that there is no one else and nothing else in all creation to which you can compare God. That makes sense, again, in the context of Exodus 3, where Moses is supposed to tell the people the name of God. Who is this God? Who is he? What's his name? God's response, I am who I am, may be God's way of saying, there's nothing to compare me to. Don't compare me to a calf, as they will do later with the golden calf, or as they do there at Sinai with the golden calf. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not like a calf. I'm not like any statue, therefore don't make me into an idol. I'm not like any of the creation. Don't exchange my glory for the glory of creation. I am who I am. That's the description of God. Who I am, that's who I am. Don't compare me to anyone else in my being. I'm totally separate, holy, transcendent, different. That could be meant. Or even, we might take I am who I am as a picture of God's self-existence. I am who I am. All the rest of us, all creation and all of us people, we are only because God is. He is, in a fundamental sense, we only exist because he created us and sustains us. There is the creator and there is creation. All creation is fundamentally dependent. We really exist, but it's a fundamentally dependent existence on God. God exists differently than us. He exists, what we call his aseity, his self-existence. He exists of himself. He is a self-existent being. He is not because anyone or anything else is. He simply is because he is. And that possibly could be something of what is meant by I am who I am, and therefore the word Yahweh. Some have pointed to the picture of the burning bush itself as maybe being suggestive of this meaning of the name. Because the bush, if you remember the reason that Moses turned aside, the bush was interesting because it was on fire. It was burning, but it was not being consumed. Now, how can a bush be burning? Fire typically requires a fuel and it transforms what's burning into something else, into ash, into smoke. But in this case, the bush was burning, it was producing a fire, but it wasn't being consumed. It remained a whole bush. That, some have said, may be a picture of God's self-existence. He too has energy and life and being, but it's not dependent on anything else. He's not used up. He's not using up anything, any fuel, anything outside of himself. It's like the bush that burns but is not consumed. So God exists. He is who he is, Yahweh. Now, the covenantal and the ontological or being meanings of Yahweh, either are possible. What we can say without any doubt is that in Scripture, Yahweh, or the Lord, is the way that God wanted his people to think of him. And that is the way that you ought to think of him as well. As we go into all of his attributes, it is most important that you remember, number one, that we are talking about a God who actually exists. That is fundamental to him. Haya, to be, he is, he is. And secondly, we are talking about a God who, if you are in Christ, is covenantally connected to you. He is for you. He is with you. So when you say the Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah or think of the one true God, that is the way you ought to think of him. In the past, it might be that you read the Lord in the Old Testament and saw the capital letters but had no idea why they were capital at all. Well, whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think.